You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Let's go, baby. Football cards collecting and investing. The NBA Finals are officially over. And now, Andy, this is what we love to call clip season, right? Where you look at all these highlights. The Underwear Olympics is happening. No pads on, no nothing. But you see one young receiver make one grab. You think he is the next great thing. We saw it last year with Romeo Doubs. But, Andy, you make a good point. Before we even started today's show, you talked about the hype cycle. And over the next month, Andy, things are going to start heating up.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Because when there's smoke, there's definitely fire, especially with the basketball finals, especially being over. And you're getting these little clips from OTAs can either make you look really good or really bad. But just generally speaking, looking at the graded sold data from our web app over the past 30 days, we have sales activity up significantly on all the major players, the Burrows. I would say Patrick Mahomes is not up. I'm trying to get back to the window, but he's not up significantly. And that's because I think his prices are already so high coming off the Super Bowl that they're just too high for people, a lot of people to really get in, especially people to get in at volume, right? Especially 2017 product doesn't nearly have the same print runs as in population as the cards today from like Burrow, Lawrence, Justin Fields. He's up 25% in graded sold volume over the past 30 days. Tua's up even 5%. 102 graded Tua cards have sold in the past week. That's a pretty big number, and it's a 5% increase week over week. Mac Jones up 28%, Carter. Jamar Chase up 5%. Yeah, even Josh Allen's up 7.8%. 69 graded Josh Allen cards have sold in the past week. So pretty impressive.
If you have DeAndre Hopkins cards, list them now, because whenever he signs, there's definitely going to be a push, especially if he goes to a contender. Now, if he goes to the Tennessee Titans, I don't think there will really be a whole lot. But it will be interesting to see. We say hi to Chad. Mr. T's trying to sell me cards already. Nathan, Diamond T, Joshua, my guy from PHL Nation. We say hi to Bob. So once again, if you're listening to this on a podcast version, once again, every Tuesday, 1:30 Central, you're with your boy Andy and me, Cartarius Bryant III. So look, Andy, for me, the clip season is just going to be insane. We saw it last year with Romeo Doubs. I mentioned him, but there's plenty of different guys you can go to. So, you know, for me, Andy, I think over the next couple of weeks, as, you know, more product hits, gets out into the atmosphere here, I still think prices are going to go up. For you, though, who are some players that you are targeting to buy right now for a potential quick flip?
Well, so right now I am looking at a lot of RB2s and 3s. I'm looking at guys like Ty Chandler, Jerome Ford. I'm looking at some of these RB2s just because there has been vacated carries. There's going to be big opportunities. There's going to be times where they get to run with the ones on the field in training camp and preseason for them to flash, especially guys that can run a sub 4.4 that look electric when you see them in those clips, you know, like maybe Pierre Strong in New England. Now that James Robinson has been released due to health reasons, Pierre Strong and Kevin Harris both bump up in the pecking order behind Ramondre. Also, a lot of people just anticipate, hey, Ramondre is going to be this bell cow workhorse role, even though that wasn't the case whenever Damian Harris was healthy last year. So I take advantage of it from both angles. I'll buy super cheap on some of these RB2s and 3s and sell them during the preseason hype cycle. I'll flip those guys and basically just go in based on height-adjusted speed score. I'm looking for guys that can run a sub 4.4 that are young, that people don't know a lot about, Carter, and then go and see what rookie autos are available for them. And if they're in that like $5 to $10, $15 range, depending on what the supply is, then that's, I know that's a perfect flip opportunity for me to get in on in to flip in the preseason.
Yeah. And it's very important to understand that this is different than what we were talking about just a few seconds ago. Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, that's higher end stuff. Andy on this channel has made it a point that it's not just about the quarterbacks. You can do your more affordable collecting. So let's go to a question really quickly here from Mr. T. Are wide receiver twos worth looking at, or do you stick to the big three starters?
Wide receiver twos are much like RB2s and RB3s in the preseason process, especially once again, if they run a sub 4.4, they have that electricity to them. It's almost like watching Kadarius Toney, or when you watch Paris Campbell in OTAs. I mean, the guy always looks incredible and he's always making these crazy catches, but this is non-contact. So it's what the beautiful thing about it. These guys can look absolutely incredible in non-contact scrimmage play without actual defenders on them, without actually even having pads on right now. And this could cause the excitement for them to go up. You know, all of a sudden people are, you know, they thinking, oh my man, the new quarterback has got the chemistry with them, or they're going to have chemistry with this quarterback and they're actually going to leapfrog this guy on the depth chart. There's a lot of ambiguous wide receiver rooms in the NFL. And we know that the breakout has massive potential for wide receivers, the spike. And so I think it's a highly relevant target as well when you're looking at wide receiver twos.
And just for clarification here, there's a difference in wide receiver two and how Andy's talking about it, and then like fantasy wide receiver two. So yeah. So Andy's talking about backup wide receiver. So let's say someone, well, no, once again, his product's not out yet, but someone like a Marvin Mims, right, who might not start on Denver's three deep with Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton, and Jerry Jeudy, but they spent a lot of draft capital to go get him. And Sean Payton loves to draft his own receivers. That's just something that he's always done with the Saints. So yeah, just to clarify here. Now we'll take one more question before we get in our next topic, and we will go to Joshua. Do you know if there are any card shows coming up, and are there any card shops with $1 bin? So I'll answer the first one. Yeah, there's some big ones. Obviously, Dallas Card Show's got another one coming up, but Andy, the big one, and we want this to be crystal clear, we are going to the National. Andy and I are going to the National. We got everything booked. We don't have our full itinerary set yet. So if you are a super diehard card quester, or if you're just someone that's new to the channel, we would love to meet you guys. So reach out to us on social media. But are there card shops with $1 bins? The answer is yes. Pretty much every sports card shop is going to have a $1 been. And I highly recommend you sort through each and every one of them. Andy, I've done really well with $1 bins. How about you?
Yeah, I've had some success. I haven't been to a card shop in a long time, but the one here locally in Tampa does have $1 bins. They've even got $1 dedicated football bins, which is even more fun. You know, it's if it's dedicated to the sport that you're after, you can absolutely find deals in there. You just gotta hunt them down. I would say even check coin shops. Check just general collectibles shops, because there's a good chance that people walk in off the street and say, hey, I've got these, you know, two boxes of cards that they just got from maybe an estate sale, garage sale, cleaned out a storage unit. I mean, there's so many different reasons of why they could have brought in the cards. But the collectibles guy, they understand that sports cards are very popular. They're having a renaissance right now. So, you know, even though it's not 2020 or 2021, they still understand they're very popular and they'll buy that stuff a lot of times. And I found that in coin shops as well, Carter.
Yeah. And look, I love going to the dollar bins, especially if it is a smaller show, because if it's a big show, you want to go through and see all the absolute big cards. But if you're at a smaller show, you know, you have time to go through. If you get to, let's say, like a card show, if you get there early enough, you have time to go through all the dollar bins. So yeah, if it's like a 40 or 50 table show, go through those dollar bins and see if you can find something. Laviska Shenault, a few years ago, I made a killing just finding Laviska Shenault silvers. Didn't turn out to be any good, but I flipped them before the season actually began. So I highly recommend you do it. But for the most part, Andy, I don't do as much dollar bin stuff at shows anymore, but I should do more. So, Andy, as far as like the next topic is concerned, let's actually get to this one though from Bob, because I do think a lot of people have questions about players like an Alexander Mattison. Got $50 for the Madison playoff RTA. Could have held out for more, but was only in it for 20. More than double, you pull the trigger and guarantee a profit. So, Andy, your thoughts on Bob letting it rip for 100% profit right here, and your thoughts on Madison moving forward?
I 100% agree with the flip. I mean, great profit, right? But let's face it. I mean, Madison, he doesn't have elite draft capital. He doesn't have elite speed. He actually wasn't even that efficient last year, only a 3.8 yards per carry average, a 3.7 yards per carry average in 2021. So I'm not really bullish on Alexander Mattison. A lot of people just automatically assume he's going to take over some kind of bell cow workload. That's not how it is. We know the Vikings defense is going to be terrible, and they've got incredible passing weapons. Kirk Cousins, prolific passer in the NFL. They're going to be throwing the ball a lot, Carter, a lot. And we know the featured weapons on that team is going to be Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson, now Jordan Addison. You know, it's not going to be featured around Alexander Mattison. Yeah, he's going to be a grinder back between the 20s. He's going to get a couple touchdowns at the goal line. But I'm looking at guys like Ty Chandler to step up. Maybe even what's the rookie's name that they drafted?
Dwayne McBride.
Dwayne McBride, yeah, even Dwayne McBride to step up. You know, I'm expecting Alexander Mattison to get a 40-50% opportunity share. But the guy's 25 years old, heading into now his fourth year. Like, I'm taking profit on him all day long, anywhere I can right now if I had his cards.
I am too, just simply for like the profit cycle, but I actually do think he's going to be pretty good this year. I like the Vikings offensive line. I understand Ty Chandler, right? He's somebody that I would be grabbing at the end of underdog fantasy drafts. And by the way, underdog fantasy, type in the promo code Quest or promo code Carter and go ahead, sign up. What are you doing? Get involved. Underdog fantasy. But yes, I actually disagree with my guy Chad and agree with Derek and Cree Carter, or is it Cray Carter? I love that name. Madison is going to kill it. I agree. I think he's going to be very, very good this year. But yeah, you know, I would be looking to sell him right now because he is the hottest like running back name out there because of the recent transaction. So there you go. Now, Andy, going into our next topic for today, I want to discuss potential breakout candidates. You know, for me, I look at, well, actually, I'm going to save this for my play of the week, but I'm looking at a few of these QBs. I'm trying to find that next backup QB, and I keep coming back to Jarrett Stidham. I want Russell Wilson to be back to where Russ was, but man, he looked so cooked last year. And I know it was just one game, but Jarrett Stidham in a Sean Payton offense, I don't know, Andy, talk me out of buying some Jarrett Stidham product.
Well, if there's anybody that can, you know, revitalize Russell Wilson's career, it's got to be Sean Payton. I mean, right. Look at what he did with guys like Taysom Hill and, you know, Trevor Siemian before Sean Payton left out of there. I mean, they found a way to score. They found a way to be productive. They found a way to get things done. And so I think that if anybody can get the...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Most out of what Russell Wilson's got left in the tank, it's going to be Sean Payton. But I really like hedging that bet with Jarrett Stidham. I mean, he does check a lot of boxes. Plus, you know, you go back and you look, you got the rookie cards and Patriots uniforms and stuff like that. And people are going to get excited about how well he played coming down the stretch last year for the Raiders towards the end of the season. So it's kind of like that recency bias. You know, he did okay in college, all those fourth-round draft capital. So, but I think that, Jarrett Stidham, I mean, what has he got to lose at this point? And they've got great weapons. I think a lot of people realize Denver had an elite defense last year, but their offense was just so bad that it did not do the defense any job. I mean, the defense was at elite. It was a borderline a Super Bowl-caliber defense, but the offense was just atrocious. So, you know, if they could just get that offense – that, and they've got good weapons. You've got a classic X receiver in Cortland Sutton. You've got Jerry Jeudy, you know, able to get great separation. You add Marvin Mims as a field stretcher, and you got Tim Patrick as a possession style receiver. I mean, it's like, what's not to like about this offense? And I mean, if anybody get it back on track, it's going to be Sean Payton.
I want to talk about one team, and I want to look at the football card aspect of it, Andy. Before we get to a few more comments, I decided to go through and look at the depth charts of all the NFL teams because one of my favorite things to do, Andy, is bet over under win totals, right? Now I spend more time doing the college football SEC stuff because it's my job, but I love doing NFL win total bets. And I always like to pick one. And Andy, I don't want to jinx it. I've never missed the one that I actually took. I'm still undefeated on it. And one team that just keeps popping up in my mind are the Cleveland Browns. That roster is loaded, abso-freaking-lutely loaded with talent. And I understand the division is going to be absolutely brutal. I think, you know, talent-wise, it is – probably the best division in all football when you look at, you know, rosters from top to bottom. And I know my guy Joey B is in the division. You know I love me some Lamar. And the other team has a Hall of Fame coach, the Steelers. What do you guys think about the Browns next year? And Andy, from a football card perspective, is there anybody on that team that interests you?
Well, I think they're all undervalued. The team as a whole is undervalued. I would say, like, I have the highest confidence level in Nick Chubb, first and foremost. Okay. I have the highest confidence level in Nick Chubb. I definitely want to hedge that with the fragility at the running back position. I think Nick Chubb's set up to absolutely smash this year. No more Kareem Hunt. You know, Kareem Hunt's out of the way. Jerome Ford he's a promising, second-year breakout player. So I absolutely want to hedge my Nick Chubb investment with some Jerome Ford. I absolutely want to handcuff because I know there's a high chance I'm going to hit big on one of those. A great offensive line and a run-first coach in Stefanski. And you've got to think Deshaun Watson gets better this year. And they've got solid weapons all the way around. I've always been a fan of David Njoku. I think he's a great value at tight end. And I'm really interested to see how this wide receiver room shakes out. Does DeAndre Hopkins go back to partner with Deshaun Watson? I know that's definitely a possibility. Amari Cooper still got some solid prices on his rookie stuff. I just think he always will with his draft capital and the college resume he has from Alabama and stuff. And it's 2015. So, you know, that's always there. I always like to buy like $5 rookie ticket autos of Donovan Peoples-Jones, though, because he's got a 99th percentile burst score and he's got great hands. So I think he's a great deep ball guy if Deshaun Watson can, you know, start getting that going again. I think there's a lot of potential targets for the Browns. Good team. Solid team.
I bought this for $1, $2 out the door on eBay. So like basically the cheapest you can get a David Njoku silver rookie. I bought a few. I really like him. I've been picking him up in some underdog fantasy drafts. Now, Andy, the chat is going absolutely nuts about my dear beloved New Orleans Saints. I've made some money on flipping some Derek Carr cards in the offseason. As you know, Andy, one of my biggest flips was a Derek Carr super short pin rookie auto from a few summers ago. And it looks as if the chat is talking themselves into Derek Carr and the Saints making a run this year.
I think it's definitely possible. On paper, you look at the Saints, the NFC South is incredibly soft. Like, just, oh God, the Bucs OTA clips, they're just terrible. Like I said, they can make you look bad or good. Right now, both Kyle Trask and Baker Mayfield look like absolute garbage in OTAs, which is not good at all. And so it's like when you look on paper, the Saints do look like the top dogs in that division. I think it's going to be interesting to see how good the Atlanta Falcons actually are. Can Desmond Ridder actually step up and become a decent NFL quarterback? There's a lot of ambiguity there, but I think they're going to underwhelm, even though Bijan probably do just fine, you know, for all those guys out there. But then the Panthers, I think are a wild card, Carter. I think the Panthers are a wild card to contend Bryce Young's first year. Just with how good he was in Alabama at commanding an offense and throwing the ball, I think people really gotta watch out for the Panthers because they have an above average defense that I think is underrated, and they could have a sneaky good offense this year. So I'd say watch out for the Panthers. I think they're going to contend with the Saints for that division. I think Derek Carr may be on the decline, and your coaching and Dennis Allen. I mean, it's just terrible. I hate to say it, but I'm not a fan of your coaches there in New Orleans.
Yeah, and I think the coaching in the division is so bad. I don't know about Arthur Smith too much, but Todd Bowles, I think, was the first coach to go under the win total with Tom Brady as his quarterback. It's wild. So in the chat right now, let me know who you guys – I want everyone right now. Who is your pick in the NFC South? If you're listening to this on a podcast, even 2 months from now, who is your pick for the NFC South champion? Because that team will host a playoff game. So very interesting stuff. I am staying away from Derek Carr though. I am. I think he'll be fine. Once again, this Saints offense is absolutely loaded, but I don't love the play calling. That offensive line should be okay, but still, it is Derek Carr. And Derek Carr is your quarterback. Yes, the Raiders defense was never really good with him. Yes, he went through all different types of chaos, off field, on field. But Derek Carr is just going to play wild, chaotic games. It's just who he is when he is your quarterback. So I'm liking Derek Carr, but I don't think I'm going to make a play on his football cards right now. But Andy, since we are on the topic, I'm going to go ahead and give my play of the week since it is on the topic, and it's Miles Sanders. I don't think Miles Sanders is that great of a talent. I'm going to be as honest as I possibly can. He is a solid player, but the Panthers' backfield competition is Chuba Hubbard, who I think is decent, but the Panthers' pass catchers leave a lot to be desired. I think Jonathan Mingo is a little bit of a reach. Thielen and DJ Chark and Terrace Marshall, obviously two of those guys I love dearly. But I think Miles Sanders is going to get a lot of volume next year. And I mean a lot. And look, I think he's going to catch more passes because Bryce Young loves throwing to the running backs. And I just think he's in for a situation where he's going to have some really good spike weeks. And I was looking at some of his autos before the show today. You can get some rookie autos, 14, 13 bucks. I'll take that all day. If he has one good week, I think that at least goes over $25, $30. He's got some name recognition. So I think Miles Sanders is a very, very interesting play. Now, I was going to say that for the end, as I probably should have. But Andy, I love opportunity, and Miles, he got a nice little deal here. I think they're going to wear him down.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much competition behind him on the depth chart. I think Chuba Hubbard can definitely be a hedge play with Miles Sanders, especially when you look at how, Miles Sanders, he played a full season last year, but 2021, 2020, and 2019 even, he played partial seasons due to injuries, but he does run that sub 4.4. He's fast, he's explosive. The guy, obviously, the line was really good last year, but he in Philadelphia, but he's been on average about a 5 yards per carry type of guy. I think you're right. I think he's going to get a ton of volume in this offense, can also receive the ball, all-purpose skill set. He's a guy currently going as RB15. So especially now with people not only in Underdog Fantasy, but also in the hobby prioritizing wide receivers over running backs, the running backs have fallen to a point where you can get them at an incredible value, like you're talking about, $5 rookie ticket auto. Pick up Miles Sanders in the 12th round of a fantasy draft or something, So it's now all of a sudden there's great value in these guys, and it doesn't take much to produce a nice profit on them.
So look, the chat's already made moves on Miles Sanders. I'm telling Noah about the flood here. I mean, goodness, Chad and Mr. T have already been making moves on some Miles. I like that. Origins on card auto for 11 out the door. Are you kidding me? I love it. So yeah, it is very interesting. And look, Panthers aren't going to have the biggest fan base. They're probably not going to be that good, but go watch Bryce Young last year. Lots of checkdowns. So some of that is because he had Jahmyr Gibbs, but still, there you go. Now, Andy, we'll take a few more questions before we get into a hobby tip of the week. We want to make first timers feel absolutely welcome. So let's go back to Cray, the latest thoughts on Desmond Ridder. We touched on him last episode at length, but neither one of us are really big fans, Andy.
No, I just can't get in on him. We just broke down the NFC South. We know how closely the quarterback success in the hobby is tied to actual win-loss record and also MVP consideration in the playoffs. I don't see Desmond Ridder getting there with them. We also know they could very easily move on from him. It's just third-round draft capital. They could easily move on from him if they finish 3-14 this year, which is a very realistic outcome for the Atlanta Falcons. And they're going to go out and draft a Caleb Williams or a Drake May next year. You know, they're going to move on from Desmond Ridder, who does have like a good athletic profile. He's a fast guy, but from what I've seen thus far, he's more or less a clone of like a Marcus Mariota type of player. And there's issues, I think, around his scan processing and his decision-making ability under pressure and making those accurate passes when you need to.
One team, Andy, that I feel a little weird about are the Buffalo Bills. Okay, so comes out today, we got a situation here with Stephon Diggs. Then Josh Allen just now said, well, it's going to be okay. Allen says yes. Stephon Diggs is back. Apparently, he didn't show up. I don't know the full story. So, Bills Nation, I know Jay Van Castle is our guy. He promotes us more than anyone. So, I don't want to get anybody mad out there with the Bills Mafia because you guys might throw me through a table. You guys know how to do that really well. But, and yeah, I don't know how I feel about the Bills this year, right? I wasn't in love with their first-round pick, Kincaid. The defense, no Leslie Frazier this next year. Some people might think that's a good thing. Whatever the case may be, he's gone. I'm not sure McDermott is the guy. And Josh Allen's a quarterback that everyone tells you is great. It's very clearly he is a cyborg and he is a great quarterback. But prices have not met what reality has actually shown up to this point. And your thoughts on the Bills from a football card perspective.
Yeah, so touch on that, Stephon Diggs, at 12:55, so just 2 hours ago before this, actually, Adam Schefter reported Stephon Diggs will attend mandatory minicamp less than an hour after.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylo's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Sean McDermott said he was very concerned about Diggs' absence from minicamp. I guess Diggs' agent reached out to Schefter and said the star receiver would be there for the entirety of minicamp. He just recently met with McDermott, the Bills GM. It's just, I guess Diggs has been a no-show at all team offseason activities after storming off the field. We'll finally get together with his teammates sooner rather than later. But that is odd. It's almost like, you know, his agent saw Sean McDermott say that and then had to do a little damage control, which, Stephon Diggs is very passionate. He's wanted to be a winner. He's been ready to be a winner and put a ring on his finger for years now, and it hasn't worked out for a litmus of different reasons, not to his fault, really. So, you know, I definitely am worried about the Bills. They've got that, man, it's almost like, always a bridesmaid but never a bride kind of story going on with the Bills, and I feel like that's been going on for eternity for them, and I'm afraid they might get stuck in that again. The division just gets harder. You add Aaron Rodgers to the Jets, division just got a lot harder. You know, the Patriots are always going to contend, and the Dolphins are now contenders with how good that team is. You now boost up the defense. Defense is going to be a lot better this year. If Tua's healthy, the offense is electric. They got a tough schedule. Bills have very tough schedule. So if you look at the prices right now of where specifically Josh Allen kind of leading that pack, man, it's hard to buy in. It's hard to buy in at those prices. You know he's got a really long lead. He's going to be around for a long time. But I'd rather make a play on a guy like a Khalil Shakir, who's going to occupy a lot of vacated targets, the second year player that a lot of scouts really liked and Bills fans. And you know, you look at the beat reporters on Khalil Shakir. They like what he's going to do out of the slot, taking over that Isaiah McKenzie role, that Jamison Crowder role that they tried to fill last year. Both those guys are gone. He steps up. He takes over. I mean, there's a little opportunity for a second-year guy that's got $5 rookie ticket autos. Once again, I'm not spending $1,500 on Josh Allen, spending $5 on a wide receiver, you know, two or three on the depth chart, and make maybe some flips on that guy.
Aaron Rodgers in Division Two, Andy.
That makes it a lot tougher, man. That makes it a lot tougher because you know that this is pretty much last one or two years of Rodgers' career. He's going to be pushing really hard. And Rodgers is also notorious for slowing down the pace of play. And we know the Jets have they're another team that has a legit top five, like Super Bowl caliber defense. And they're no joke, man. And things are just getting harder and harder for the Bills. And, you know, losing Brian Daboll, like you said, going back to that, losing Brian Daboll as their offensive coordinator, I think is a pretty big hit to their offensive creativity and play calling. And I just don't think you could put everything on Josh Allen's shoulder, continue for him just to be the Superman of the offense, him and Stephon Diggs. Yeah, I don't know that Dalton Kincaid. Yeah, I didn't really understand that draft pick. I mean, I like it from like a fantasy tight end premium type standpoint because Dalton Kincaid, a great receiver in college. But they paid Dawson Knox a bunch of money. Like Dawson Knox has got like a top 10 tight end contract in the NFL. And then to go out and draft in the first round Dalton Kincaid when you could have focused on defense, could have focused on the offensive line. I don't know. It's kind of strange.
Yeah. And what's interesting is Josh, you could see Josh Allen's card. Let me see. It's right here in our backdrop. It's hard, right? I've said what I've said in the past about Josh Allen and Justin Herbert in particular. It's just hard for even those guys to have the upward mobility in the AFC. And once again, as you know, people that want to buy cards and potentially hold them. Andy, you've done tons of research. We've, you know, shared this a gazillion times. The two best times to sell a card is right before the season, or if a team makes a Super Bowl. The hype cycle before the Super Bowl is always just going to be so insane. Now, if these two guys were in the NFC, it would be a completely different story. But, you know, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, there's been so many thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions, a million for a Herbert card in the past. It's hard. And when you start looking, especially at the super higher up cards and the losses that people have been taking on these cards, if you're going to get an A-list quarterback, the price matters so freaking much. So it's very, very, very important. Now, we do have some Tua discourse happening, Andy. We went through this last offseason. I've been telling you guys, be freaking careful with Tua. A lot of people filled my DMs. Carter, you're wrong. You're wrong. And, you know, he eventually got hurt, and we don't know how the rest of his season would have played out. I still am not in love with him. I'm just not. The health does play a little bit into it, Andy. But once again, Tua's prices. One good thing, though, with it, though, since there are so many good quarterbacks in 2020, Andy, you can do, you know, price matches with Tua and see where he is compared to other quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah, and he's a lot lower. I mean, he's pretty much at Jordan Love prices now. No. You know, him and Jordan Love, and I think we've seen a lot more from Tua to know he's at least pretty decent. He can actually be a top 10 quarterback if healthy on the field in specifically a Mike McDaniels offense with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. You know, and imagine if, you know, I know they added Devin Achane, who's got a lot of speed, but if they potentially add Dalvin Cook, that adds another layer of of dynamic, you know, run game. I think Tua is going to be just fine if he can stay healthy, but there's a lot of risk involved in buying his rookie cards, even at the current prices, just because of the fragility of him potentially being forced into retirement. I think if that's the case, you may have a spike on that happening, just like we saw a spike. It's unfortunate, but this happens. It's a phenomenon, right? Like the spike we saw in DeMar Hamlin, when players have these tragic incidences that set like a freak accident that nobody's ever seen before. Dwayne Haskins' card spiked whenever he got hit by a car on the side of the interstate last year before the season. It's like a tragic incident that was a freak accident, but the cards temporarily spike. And I mean, these are people buying them and actually paying. Like, I personally sold a Dwayne Haskins Prism PSA 10 in that time period for a good profit. You know, it wasn't any price gouging or anything like that involved. It was just, a card I had listed on there forever and eventually moved, right, when that happened. So it's like those things do happen. So there, I hate to say it, but there's a potential that Tua set some kind of precedent in brain research or concussion research, right? Precedent. You know, it's like, because I personally can't think of another guy I've ever seen get concussed so easily. And then to the extent that his body reacted with the seizures and locking up and stuff on the field. So I hate to wish that on anybody, but there's always that other side of the coin. Something like that could happen. The cards could spike based on that event. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I wouldn't bet on that. Like, I wouldn't be investing into Tua. Part of that is morally, but also part of that is, you know, it would take, like, obviously a freak of nature kind of thing for that to happen to him. And I hope it doesn't happen to him, because I like Tua. I really do. I think he's a very interesting guy, but you know, he just got married, and this is, you know, going to be an interesting year for him, because, you know, how do you go about it? How do you go about playing around something like that? Sometimes you just can't. You know, this is a very violent sports. I wish Tua nothing but the best health wise. But yeah, you know, I would, as just a football card person, I would never just bank on finding the next person who might, you know, get that freak incident. But yeah, you know, Tua, as far as like processing and playing is concerned, he's decent. He's really, really decent. I just don't think he is great. It's risky. It is very, very, very risky. And I would just stay away. But honestly, all this stuff is very risky, and his price compared to the other guys in 2020 is lower. So there you go. Now, we get into hobby tip of the week. And I think for me, I look at card shows. I always go back to this. Go to card shows. Go. Even if it's not a great card show, it's a very fun experience. Check it out. As we mentioned earlier, go through the dollar bins. But as Hector pointed out as well earlier, if you do go through the dollar bins, make sure you're able to sit. Because if you're hunched over, it can be a very painful experience. So, when you go to a card show, go to the dollar bins and enjoy yourself. But just go to a card show in general. It's always going to be fun. And in particular, go to the National, because we will be there. Andy, for you, hobby tip of the week.
Sell Saquon Barkley. This is my hobby tip of the week. Sell Saquon Barkley. I don't know if he's going to derail his career with his contract situation. But similar to Dalvin Cook, I mean, teams are just not willing to give these $12, $15 million running back contracts anymore. You know, it's not the same as it used to be. He's now 26 years old. He has had a couple of major injuries, but he's proven that he's come back fully. We know he's got an incredible work ethic. If you look at his height-adjusted speed score, it's the top in the league amongst active running backs. So that goes a long way. He also has still about $150 rookie ticket autos. So his rare stuff get really pricey. If you look at a report just yesterday, when asked whether or not Saquon would consider sitting out the 2023 season, he said, "That's a card I could play." So it's like whenever I hear a player saying that, that's not going to sit well with Brian Daboll. I don't know what's going to happen with Saquon Barkley here, but I think you guys should sell him now.
I disagree. I do. I think he's playing next year, and I think he's going to be good. I still think he's got juice left in the tank. I just don't think anybody's going to do the Le'Veon Bell thing again. I just don't think anyone's going to sit out a full year because it was a disaster for Le'Veon Bell. And I love how he fits into what Brian Daboll's doing. And I hate, absolutely hate that backfield behind him. So, you know, I do think that they'll come to a consensus. Do you want Saquon to sit out with that running back room not being that great at all, and Daniel Jones is your quarterback and not the best set of receivers, Andy? I don't think so. I think Saquon has a little bit more leverage than most other running backs, because with Dalvin Cook, okay, sayonara. We still got Justin Jefferson. We drafted Jordan Addison. We still got TJ Hockenson, and Kirk Cousins can throw. He's proven to be good in other systems, right? Daniel Jones has had one great year, and it was his past year, and that's even arguable if it was great, and it was with Daboll, who has made a lot of quarterbacks look great, college and pro. So I once again, Saquon's prices are still high. So if you want to sell him, especially if you got cheap, especially if you got in cheap, go ahead and do it. But, you know, if I got in at a Saquon auto at like 150, I think he's going to play next year. I really do, and I think he's going to be good. Now, as far as holding him long term, no, I don't do that with any running backs. But I still think he's going to be pretty good, Andy. But I'll let you respond.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. The depth chart behind him is absolutely terrible. And so there's not any competition. But I just don't think he's going to get back to that rookie form. Like, I mean, there was a couple games down the stretch last year, like week 17, where he finishes the RB 38, you know, or week 11 against Detroit, where he finishes the RB 39. So he kind of bounced around there, like week 14 against Philadelphia, RB 31. There were definitely games last year where he vanished. And it was like, where's Saquon? I know it's part of the game plan, part of the game script, but he's obviously very involved in the receiving game. 57 receptions last year. Not a career high, but a very solid, respectable number. Overall, the RB5 on a PPR, fantasy points per game basis. So I don't think he's ever going to get back to that rookie form. I think that he still has like elite running back prices, and I think that it's smart.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
To get ahead of his age decline production. So I just think it's smart to get ahead of that. I personally, if I had him, I would be looking to flip them heading into the season. Maybe once that news comes out that, hey, he did agree to a, maybe even if a short-term deal, he signed his franchise tender, whatever they agree to, and he is going to play that, or maybe he signs a big contract, a big 3-year contract, Carter, boom, sell it. Because, you know, it gets a big bag of money. We saw what that did to Leonard Fournette last year. So I'm not saying that it's the same, but I'm saying that I want to get ahead. I think people should get ahead on the age decline production from Saquon Barkley by selling heading into this season.
I like it. I wouldn't hold him past this year. I do agree with you on there, but I think he's got one more good year. Now, it's like you said, I do agree principle-wise. This could be it. This could be hit for him. Now, let's get to a few more questions, Andy, before we get into play of the week. I like you getting spicy, though. I like when we disagree. I love it. Let's go to Bob. Said it before, keep an eye out on deals, Aaron Rodgers rookie cards. If he sniffs a Super Bowl with the Jets, his cards will rocket.
I agree. Yeah, especially a hot start, you know, because it's the hot start. And if they don't get off to that hot start, they're not being talked about in the MVP circle or the elite teams type circle. The cards do dip heading into November. That's what happened to Tom Brady the first year he came to Tampa. There was a lot of critics saying he was washed out of the gate. I think we played the Saints week one. It was like a rough start. You know, Brady didn't know what down it was. He's throwing picks. You know, you never know. That could happen to Rodgers week one. They got the Jets do have a tough schedule. But definitely look at the, like, you're right. If he sniffs the Super Bowl, the Jets make the playoffs this year, there's going to be a big appreciation in Rodgers' prices because they know he's gonna get close. He's definitely going to sniff it. That's going to cause an increase because they really haven't reacted in a majorly positive way. I think there's a lot of people hesitant there to get in on the Rodgers hype train.
Saw his gold refractor just sell for $7,000not too long ago. That was his rookie gold refractor. But yeah, I mean, sure, if he actually does get it done, he's got Garrett Wilson, man. We've shared before. We are Garrett Wilson people here on the Card Quest. So there you go. Travis says Matthew Stafford comeback player of the year at +3,000. I am so out on the Rams. I am. I think that defense is a disaster, and that's saying something with Aaron Donald on it. But, yeah, you know, if the defense is bad, Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford should be able to, you know, go absolutely wild. But outside of those two and a few other pieces, I just do not like the Rams going into next year, Andy.
Yeah, I still think they're gonna struggle. NFC West is a tough division too. I think Stafford, he's gonna start the season. I think there could be some beginning of the season hype, but it's tough, man. So talking about, we'll parlay this with Cray's question here. So the Rams open the season up in Seattle, in Seattle against the Seahawks. That's a tough divisional opponent that just came off a smoking hot season, making the playoffs. I've got the Seahawks winning that game, Carter, in their stadium with how loud it is. Matt Stafford coming off injury, Cooper Kupp coming off injury, the defense depleted. They lost Jalen Ramsey. It's like, man, I don't know, man. I'm with you. I think the Rams are going to struggle this year. I don't know how good they're going to be. I definitely think there's going to be a lot of throwing if Stafford's healthy. So you could maybe say Cooper Kupp has a little bounce back, but they play the 49ers in week two, and then the Bengals in week three. That is not a opening three-game schedule I want to attack at all.
No, I am out. You could see some Stetson Bennett, as Chad points out, just to see what they got. You know, why not? Stetson is old, but it doesn't matter as much at quarterback as it does at other positions. Cam Akers, yeah, I'd flip him now. I think he's cooked. I do. Diamond T Sports Card says, once again, it goes back to what we started the live stream with today, Andy. It's highlight camp season, the underwear Olympics. Diamond T's got Tua as his avatar. There you go. That's juicy. I love it. But, yeah, I'm just telling you. Highlight camp season, everybody looks good, Andy.
The Tua highlights are some of the best.
I'm telling you, man.
Even when he underthrows Tyreek, it's still awesome.
And every time Tyreek is in front of the media, it's like Tua throws the best ball ever.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be the first 2,000-yard receiver. I love it. Juice it up, baby. Odds on Jared Goff to win MVP around 40-1.
Well, there's absolutely going to be hype for him. I'm impressed that he's actually making the Vegas odds because, I mean, Let's be honest, it's been a first for a while for him. But you know, he's had his time in the sun, so he's about to have it again with the Lions, man. And they open that season up Thursday night, opening game against the Chiefs, Thursday night football. There's going to be a lot of hype, a big storyline, especially when they spend that number 12 overall pick on Jahmyr Gibbs from Alabama. And everybody loves him. Some Amon-Ra St. Brown. And, you know, they spent early second round capital on Sam Laporta. They needed that tight end to fill a void for TJ Hockenson. It's also the storyline around Jameson Williams, their first round wide receiver, being suspended for 6 weeks based on the league's gambling protocol of college football. But he's apparently being mentored by Calvin Johnson now. So, and Calvin Johnson is apparently back in with the team after being on the outs with them for so many years based on like money they owed him and stuff. And so it's like, there's going to be a big storyline. You've got a lot of improvements to the defense. You got Aiden Hutchinson, a big storyline around him. So there's going to be a lot of hype for them coming into that opening night game against the Chiefs on Thursday night.
I love it. Derek says Akers looks good at the end of the season. He did, but I'm just not a big Cam Akers guy. I'm just not. Kyren Williams, be on the lookout. We'll see what happens. But yeah, fire in as many questions as you guys want to get in here at the end. Andy, play of the week.
Well, so what I'm doing? Yeah, I've got the opening schedules pulled up, and I have been analyzing those first 3 weeks, actually the first 4 weeks, which I feel are most important. So some of these teams I've got highlighted green are teams that I want to target. So I really like the Ravens opening schedule here. I also like, you know, Ted Monken. I know we've talked about Lamar Jackson in the past. I'm not sure when's the last time I mentioned the name J.K. Dobbins, but he is 100% still my top undervalued running back heading into this season. Absolutely love me some J.K. Dobbins. Like, if I look at where his height-adjusted speed score here is a 114.6 at just 24 and a half years old. Like, are you kidding me? He's right there in the same elite top 10 category with guys like Kenneth Walker, Breece Hall. You can see the height-adjusted speed score list there. Look who's at the top right under Saquon, Antonio Gibson. Active players, 25, man. I love the Commanders' opening schedule as well. So I'll give you guys two plays. If I mentioned J.K. before, Antonio Gibson, 100% love. They play the Cardinals opening week at home. It doesn't get any better than this for positive game script to set up Sam Howell, to set up Antonio Gibson, to smash week one. I look at all the Commanders' weapons right now under new ownership. You know, it's just a new offensive coordinator and Eric Bieniemy. It's obviously going to get better. He knows a thing or two about pass catching running backs, Carter, which Antonio Gibson is. He was a receiver in college, moved over, incredibly explosive, not the plotter like Brian Robinson. So there's two, I think, really good skill position plays for you.
And I gave mine a little bit earlier in Miles Sanders. So we'll go through a few more here. Roberto wants your thoughts on Christian Watson, not just a prism, a low-numbered prism. Sell or hold for C. Watt?
Well, see, I think this is when you got to ask yourself, right? You got to ask yourself, how much money do you have in that card? How much is that a percentage of your overall hobby bankroll? And is there anything that you could get into better for the profit you can get? Right now, he's incredibly hyped up heading into a second year, and there's a lot of unknown. He's looking great. I saw a clip from OTAs earlier with him and Jordan Love. I mean, it's going to be highlight city with him. He's incredibly fast and explosive, Carter, and he showed some alpha tendencies last year that can lead him to being an alpha wide receiver for the Packers. And if Jordan Love is good at all, that could be a big thing, you know. So I'm not sure. It's unknown. I'm on the side of flip for profit on Christian Watson, just because I don't know how good this Packers offense is going to be with Jordan Love behind center. it is promising, though. I'm tempted to almost buy some more Jordan Love cards. I'm always in the market for guys like A.J. Dillon. Sell Aaron Jones. He's clearly over the age apex, and he's going to be gone after this year. I mean, they restructured his contract to basically this is his final year. He's going to be gone, and it's going to be the A.J. Dillon show. So I'm always in on him in his prime, and I'm tempted to buy some more Jordan Love, but Christian Watson's so expensive. If I didn't rip that out of a pack, it's going to be really hard for me to justify the price I'd have to pay to buy that as a single.
Like Christian Watson, I don't love him, but I will say the one thing about him is right now he's being drafted really high on Underdog Fantasy because he plays a very exciting brand of football. So let's use an example here. Let's say George Pickens versus Deontay Johnson, right? George Pickens is younger and he makes these amazing one-handed catches, and he's got this swagger, this attitude, where Deontay Johnson is more of your possession receiver, the better overall route runner, and probably, you know, the more accomplished, more complete certain player. Christian Watson has some of that George Pickens in him, in that he just has this exciting aspect to his game, and there's such an unknown from him going into year two, and we have seen in recent years huge jumps from year one receivers to year two receivers. But you go look at his rookie ticket auto prices for like a guy like Christian Watson, maybe the cheapest one you're going to get, Andy, is probably around $50, $60 out the door. Not the absolute worst, but not the absolute best either. So I think you can go either way here. It's not, he's not 28 where, you know, you just got to move it now. Still very young in his career. We go to Randy. What are your thoughts on Nico Collins? I like his receiver room. He should get a lot of targets, but Andy, this team is going to be bad with the capital B.
Yeah, I touched on their opening schedule against the Ravens in Baltimore. I like Nico Collins out of value in like fantasy. I think he's going to have some spike weeks. I think he's a guy that's going to be more hyped up going into the season with the unknown around how good the offense is going to be with new coaching and CJ Stroud. But he's ultimately a guy that I would personally wait to November when the Texans are, you know, even if, like, let's say they somehow miraculously pull off a 5-5 start, he's still going to be undervalued unless he's like a top five wide receiver in the league, which I don't see that in his range of outcomes right now. So there would be asking for a lot. He's a guy personally, I'm just going to wait unless I'm a super fan of him. I'm going to just wait till November to potentially buy some super cheap stuff, you know?
Andy, I want to know, are you building your Nikola Jokic collection?
No.
Nikola Jokic? Are there no Jokic collect? I just love that the best player in the world of basketball right now got drafted during a Taco Bell commercial. I freaking love it. But there you go. But as Andy pointed out, a lot of you joined in late, and you don't have the patience to go back to the very beginning of this episode. But the NBA is over. All right. Now, there's a bunch of young baseball prospects out there. The De La Cruz kid for the Reds looks spectacular. And then, of course, you know, you do have the NBA draft coming up, and the Wembanyama products are out there. And, Andy, one low key thing to keep an eye out for in the world of sports cards. We have talked a lot about Bowman Chrome. We have not talked a whole lot about release schedule on today's episode. We'll save that for next week as far as like release schedules. But Andy, have you seen the Bowman Chrome cards with the women, like the Caitlin Clark cards that are out there? I think that has some real, real potential. Now, I bring that up because This is the first episode in a while, Andy, that we've not talked Bowman Chrome U, right? The reason why I think that's big is because I think like Caitlin Clark, she's a superstar Steph Curry basketball player for Iowa. That could help the Bowman Chrome football because the cards look the exact same, and that might get some people to say, "Oh, look, I'm a fan of the Big Ten basketball. Let me go see some Big Ten cards. Oh, look, they got a CJ Stroud card. They got a Bryce Young card. They got a whoever card." So just something to keep an eye out for. And I know it's a different sport, but I wanted to say that for the end. Let's see. Andy, I see you highlighted a few of these comments right here. We'll get to them really quickly. Nathan here.
Welcome to the hobby, Nathan. He just got back in the game after several years, starting with a small bankroll to get things going. Hopefully you haven't already answered this, but do you have suggestions for solid plays? Yeah, 100% have suggestions for solid plays. So I don't know if we touched on it in this episode, but like in a hierarchy of just ultimate liquidity, like being able to buy a card, easily get in and out, it's going to start with rated rookies, and it's going to start with rated rookie quarterbacks. And guys like Justin Fields, for me, is at the top of the list, right? I could even look at Jordan Love. We just talked about him, but I love the value on Justin Fields. That could also get your feet wet in grading because the base Donruss Justin Fields is a card you could typically pick up for like $5. And you can, and it's got a 74% chance of getting the PSA 10, generally speaking. It has a very high PSA 10 grade hit rate. So I would look at, you know, those quarterbacks, rated rookies, you know, target some of your local card shops or garage sales, stuff like that. Also look on eBay. They sell routinely all the time. Also look at our running back and our wide receiver rankings that we're talking about. Honestly, if you want to really accelerate your learning curve, I mean, I put out an article every Friday. You can go back. And then what I do is I do a deep dive on the player, like, you know, Carter. And then I also present about 10 different listings that are very, very well priced, that are what we call snipes, that are good deals that you can then turn around and flip for a nice profit. So if you really want to accelerate your learning curve, hop into our patreon.com/footballcards community, get in the Discord. I mean, the guys in there are active every day, 24/7, right? All football cards all day, baby.
Yeah, Nathan, if you do have a bankroll set, I do recommend signing up because we really want to help out beginners. Andy helped me when I started, and it was around Andy when he started getting right back into it. And also set some goals out for yourself. What kind of collection do you want to build? I think that obviously helps a long way. It saved me a lot of money when I said, hey, you know, for my PC, I wanted to do Tyrann Mathieu, and that helped me, you know, really focus in on what I really wanted. So there you go. Also, another tip, Nathan, is don't listen to Brad Nolan's advice, buying up some Mitch Trubisky cards. That's a guy that I would stay away. Let's get to Jamie here. Which Trevor Lawrence cards are a steal? I bought a few Fireworks, Recruit, and Emergent Green Cracked Ice for cheap a couple of months ago before all his cards started to go up. Well, congrats, Jamie, on getting them on the low, man.
Yeah, definitely congrats getting on the low. What I will say is that those inserts like Fireworks, Recruit, Emergent, Green Prism are, you know, yeah, they're going to be some of the later cards to go up. Unless you get those grade and they come back a PSA 10, that now adds significant scarcity to it in the grade. That makes it a lot more appealing. But those are, unfortunately, common inserts. Those are inserts, right, that they made, you know, 20 different parallels of. And unless you've got the gold one or the green prism one, that's got a serial number that can showcase some significant scarcity, those cards aren't going to be nearly as liquid or as popular, as easy to sell for a profit as just your regular rated rookie. And it's also very important to point out with, once again, with Trevor Lawrence, that his base Donruss rated rookie and his rated rookie canvas have over a 50% gem rate, actually over 60% gem mint rate in terms of the raw card converting to a PSA 10 compared to his Prism, which is at about 10-15%, his Optic 10-15%, his select cards that are, have a low gem mint 10 rate as well. So those are just, there's a lot of issues with those cards. So that's why you're not going, it's going to be a lot harder to realize the profit in those cards. Whereas the rated rookie is just, I mean, it is the most liquid card in our hobby today. I think if we posted a poll, Carter, people would say rated rookie, then Prism, then Mosaic, and then Select. I think those would be the top four and just like mainstream retail brands. Of course, you've always got National Treasures, Flawless, Immaculate, Contenders, Rookie Ticket Autos, both Optic and Base, that are going to be like, you know, cream of the crop type brands. And then there's going to be lovers of Spectra and Obsidian out there as well, stuff like that. But, you know, in terms of just like mainstream, everybody knows about them. They're super liquid. You can buy and sell and get out of them. There's a ton of transactional data for you to say, hey, I'm buying at a good price based on what they've been at for the past year. That's your rated rookies, your Prism, your Mosaics, and your Selects.
I totally agree. And one thing, there are, for the elite quarterbacks, if you were to list who the 10 best quarterbacks are in the NFL, Trevor Lawrence would probably be on that list. Of those 10 quarterbacks, he has the most cards out of any of them. And it's probably not that close because there was Trevor's own personal release, and then there's all different kinds of stuff. But it is a little encouraging, though, Andy, when I still see his rookie ticket autos go for his numbered rookie ticket autos still consistently go for over 2K. So that lets me know that at least, even though there is so much supply out there, there's still some Trevor cards that still go for a lot, and there's still some that go for a little. One thing I will say is that he does have a nice signature. And that obviously makes me happy when players take the time, because his signature is pretty intricate. Joshua, what's the difference between club level concourse and the others? Which one are worth more? Andy, I'll answer this one very briefly. Field level. That's always going to be the most short print of the select variations. Now, Chad says field level are top dogs in select until this year. Field levels this year are now horizontal only. There's a new sweet level this year. This is why it's important to have Chad here. I didn't know this. I honestly, did you know this, Andy, that field level is
all horizontal? It's coming out this week. I have not studied the checklist. I know we looked at the artist proofs a couple weeks back, but select is coming out this week. It's going to start being broken open and circulating on eBay. But yeah, that's super interesting. We know that horizontally formatted cards don't do quite as well as the vertical ones. So, and field level has typically always been the most rare level of select. It's always been the most popular. But this is interesting, a new sweet level this year. So I'm not crazy that they keep adding new levels. This is part of the watering down effect that we talk about with Select. Plus, they sell it in retail stores now. It used to be hobby only, like a really high quality product with a high gem mint 10 rate going back to 2013. It's not the same anymore, man.
We're sounding like old men on lawn. The good old days. The good old days. Well, when were the good old days? 2020. Huh?
2019.
Let's go. I love it. But yeah, that'll probably do it for us, Andy, unless you wanted to get to one more.
Let's see. What else we got here? We've gone
long today.
Yeah. No, I love the questions. I love to help out new people getting into the hobby. I definitely want to help accelerate their learning curve. You know, it just makes it makes it more fun. Right. I like a more competitive market.
So yeah, I'm a sweet level of top tier. I mean, we honestly don't know until, you know, it actually all comes out. And we know the print runs. So we might. I didn't even know this. I've not really even looked at select print runs just yet. But We shall see.
Trying to see if I can find it on Blowout. You know, they'll have the checklist on here. For some reason, it's not even under new pre-sales. I know it's on here. Just talked to Ryan last night. He's getting some later this week. So I'll have to find that. But I have to do some digging on it. I think the suite level, you know, they added club level in last year. And we know that fit right between premier and field level. And then, okay. And so I got to think that suite level has got to be on, like on top of field level. I don't know. This is pretty wild.
So here's what I want people to do at the end of the episode here. Think of the one person that you know is also a football card friend. Tell people about the football card quest. Tell them about our Tuesday afternoon shows. This might not even be your favorite show on the Card Quest. You might like the Hitman and all the other stuff Andy has going on. Just drive people to this channel. Word of mouth is always the best way to help grow the Card Quest. I'm looking at you, whoever you might be. Do it. Think of that one person. Think of that one person that might be thinking about getting back into football cards or is in football cards. Let them know. So we appreciate all the newbies, Cray, holding it down. Next week, we'll talk about custom cards. How about that as a cliffhanger? We'll see you next week, guys. Peace out.
Peace out, you guys. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-boom.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.